Well, that escalated quickly. All spoke highly of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his mouth. And just a few moments later, they were filled with fury. They rose up, drove him out of town, and led him to the brow of a hill to hurl him down headlong. Talk about whiplash. It was a joke at the time, can anything good come out of Nazareth? It was spoken by one of the disciples, Nathanael. Apparently nothing can, it can't make it out alive. But what was it? What was it that triggered him here? What caused that quick change of heart? There's a very real reason. To see and to understand a little bit of it, to take a quick look at the Old Testament. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I dedicated you. A prophet to the nations, I appointed you. I will not allow you to be crushed. The Lord spoke these words to the prophet Jeremiah, and he spoke them to Israel as well, through him. That Israel, their identity is that they had been formed by God. They belonged to him. They were the chosen people. But he chose them. He formed them not for themselves, but for others. He set them apart so that they might be a light to the nations. This was their calling. And through them, in some mysterious way, God would bring salvation to the whole world. And their mission, their greatness, was to exist for others. It was to evangelize, to bring God into the world and to bring the world to God. But other nations hated them. They wanted them destroyed. And so God again and again told them they had to rely entirely on him. They had to live in faith that he would not allow them to be crushed, but that they would become glorified in him. So the Lord told them, I formed you. You belong to me. I will take care of you. To live this mission of existing for others. But when things got hard, what did they do? Time and again. They got whiny and self-concerned. And instead of existing for others, and instead of existing this way in which God had formed them to, for others, they turned in on themselves. They focused on themselves. And instead of being a light to the nations, they ended up becoming just like the nations. Instead of relying on God that he would take care of them, they turned to false gods, as we do. It's a crisis of faith that Israel has again and again, not trusting that the Lord who formed them and gave them this mission would take care of them. And so they felt they had to take care of themselves. It was a crisis of faith which caused an inversion of love. Instead of being focused outward, they became focused very much inward. So God sent prophets again and again to turn them out from sin, out from themselves, and to focus back outward on their calling, and to remind them of the promised Messiah who had come to save them from themselves and draw all back to him. But those two important things is the direction God called them to be is outward. What happened to them because of a crisis of faith is love became inverted. And it became self-love. This is the big problem always, always with Israel. It's what sin is. And so Jesus today stands in the synagogue of his hometown, and he says, today this prophecy is fulfilled in your midst. He's the fulfillment of it. But then there's this strange turn of events. At first, there's this excitement stirring in their hearts. This is Joseph's boy. He's one of our own. Sort of this welling up of pride, like if Dickinson would have a quarterback which would go and be a star NFL player. You'd be like, yeah, he's one of us. Similar but not exact to that. But this welling up of pride, and all spoke highly of him, and their egos begin to swell,
And they began more and more focused inward, focused on their own greatness. That he did these miracles at Capernaum. Imagine what he's going to do in his hometown. Finally, this will put us on the map. No one will make fun of Nazareth anymore. This is what's happening in their hearts. And so what does Jesus do? He cuts the legs out from underneath that because he loves them. And he has to. Because there's no way they could ever be disciples and follow him when they're swollen up in their pride like that, when they're so focused inward on themselves. And so he tells them, he reminds them of these two accounts of these prophets, which seem very foreign to us, but they would have known exactly what he was saying. He tells them of the prophet Elijah during a time of famine and drought. He wasn't sent to anyone in Israel, but rather he was sent outward to a widow in Sidon. Elisha, of all the lepers in Israel, during a time of war, not one of those lepers was healed by the prophet, but only a leper who was outside of Israel and was the commander of the enemy army. Jesus knew what he was doing. He was triggering them to somehow break them out from themselves, break them out from their self-focus, that he had created them for a mission. He had created them and he had called them to live in a way in which they were focused outward. In Israel, just as their ancestors had been blind, Jesus is saying, this is you too. You're so focused, so inward, and it's not about you, Israel. It's about what God is going to do through you. But you're drunk on your own self-love. And just as the prophets had done, he has to shake them out of that drunken stupor. He meant to trigger them. And you think they wanted to kill him? Absolutely they did. He was insulting them to the highest degree. What God had called them to do, Jesus came to fulfill the prophecy in where they had failed. These words, though, are meant for us as well. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. That life is not about creating our own purpose and meaning. It's about discovering the purpose which God has already created within you. And that discovering the purpose that God created you for, your calling, that's not discovered by focusing inward on oneself. This is what the world tells us, that you have to like be so focused on yourself and that's where you'll find your meaning and purpose in life. The truth isn't that at all, though. That you discover the meaning of your life by giving it away in love. That it's not about self-love, it's about agape love. Agape love is a love that, it's the love that God is. It pours itself out entirely. And that one is able to know their vocation and to know their calling daily through doing this. Not through being focused on oneself and feeling like I have to take care of myself or no one else is going to. But this orders everything in one's life. So for my life as a priest, I try and get good rest. I try and eat well. I try and exercise. Why? Not primarily for my own sake, but so I can be a better priest to you. So I can better give myself to you in love. And so for you, every father, every mother, that everything is ordered by that. But as long as my life is about me setting the goals that I've set for myself, making myself or my family as successful and comfortable as possible, then I'm not living as a light to the nations. But I'm living just like the other nations, like the vast majority of people. Self-focused, narcissistic, prideful, in need of salvation. But it's not about me. This is the great message that the prophets spoke. It's the message that Jesus is speaking
to the people in his town today? The Christian life, what's in it for me? The opportunity to die to myself, to empty myself entirely so that I can be filled with God. So that, and I know you're going to think this sounds crazy, so that I can become love. What St. Paul speaks about. St. Paul today is first of all describing who God is. The word he uses every time is agape, agape, which is the love that God is, which is love poured out completely for the other. That's what the Trinity is. He's saying this is who God is, and this is who you must become as well. You must become love if you hope to be a part of God. And without love, you have nothing because you don't have God. In the first pages of the Catechism, there's a line by St. Athanasius which says that God became human so that we could become God. You think it sounds heretical? It's not. God became human so that we could become God, because salvation is a wedding, it's a marriage. Two become one flesh. And that we discover the meaning of our lives in living that out, pouring ourselves out entirely in love, and having the faith that God will take care of us. He won't allow you to be crushed. He will provide for you. He is enough for you. He really is. That's the wonder of living the faith, is that, wow, God actually provides when I didn't think he would. And then you're able to live in this way in which you live for the sake of others, in which your whole life becomes a gift.